Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Valerie Smaldone, spending some time with you. And I am really delighted to introduce you to a woman with a most interesting story. You may remember her from being a top anchor on CNN. Darren Kagan spent 12 years there until her contract was not renewed. And from there, she took a turn in life that provided more riches than she could possibly imagine. Darren has a new book out now, and the title is this one, Hope Possible, a network news anchor's thoughts on losing her job, finding love, a new career, and my dog, always my dog. Welcome, Darren, to America Weekend. That is quite a title for a book.
It is. I think I have just about every keyword on Amazon crammed into that title, but it's also reflective of what my life has been the last few years.
It really covers everything. We're going to get into that in a moment, but first, take me back to the time when you were told you were no longer employed as a news anchor. What was life like immediately after that?
So I had a very good life. I was anchoring at CNN. If you want to do news, that's the place to do it. It was a day not unusual that we had a lot of breaking news. And I thought my boss was calling me upstairs to tell me that what a great job I had done on breaking news that day. And I did. But he was actually calling me up to tell me that he was not going to renew my contract. And by the end of the year, I would be out. So that was not the time I was expecting. I was in my early 40s, so no job, never been married, never had kids. And those were like my big life goals. That's what I'd been pursuing for all my adult life. It was not a happy time.
Did you think when you heard that shocking news and it finally set in what it really meant, did you think that it was kind of over for you at this point?
Well, it wasn't over. I don't want to be overly dramatic. It wasn't over, but it certainly was disappointing. It certainly felt like a dead end road. What I'd been working for all these years, none of it seemed to be there. So it was certainly very, very discouraging, but it also turned out to be a huge opportunity.
Right, of course, and it did, and you did very, very well. But I'd love to just get into the machine of your head and your mind and your heart at this point. Getting past this time, what did you do immediately and how did you continue on?
So the first thing I did that I think is really important is I let myself feel the feel, and I had my sad, and I had a few months of really being sad. And I think that was important. You have to have that moment where you crawl underneath your bed covers, but then you have to decide kind of what's next. And for me, the opportunity was to really take a totally different turn with my career in terms of most people in that position would go and knock on the door of MSNBC or Fox or go to local news. And I kind of stepped back and said, okay, well, I wouldn't have picked this, but now that this has happened to me, let's really look at this. And I realized in my personal life, I had been on this self-improvement journey where I was really focusing on positive things. And then I had this job where I was talking about doom and gloom every day. And it really gave me the chance to step back and say, I don't think I want to do traditional news anymore.
And from there, you became an entrepreneur with your own media world. You created your own website, DarrenKagan.com, show the world what's possible. And that comes from your really positive, upbeat idea of life.
It does, but I'll tell you, I did not walk out of my boss's office that day saying, I feel so great about the world, I am going to go talk about positive, upbeat things.
Sure.
I mean, really, I was so sad and so seeking. I read in a book somewhere, there was a line that said, create what you seek. I'm like, well, I'm seeking some inspiration and some hope. Mm-hmm. So I really started DarrenKagan.com and this uplifting, positive news site really for me, because I needed to surround myself with stories of people overcoming obstacles and heroes and stories that filled my heart to kind of power me to go forward. Turns out I'm not the only one who needs that.
Absolutely. But I'm guessing you probably heard from people in the business who said, nobody wants to read that and who cares, or I don't see that this is going to work. Did you come across that kind of attitude?
Absolutely. I mean, you know certainly very well the world of traditional news. If it bleeds, it leads in local news, and people don't want to hear good things. But I think we've stepped into such a fascinating and wonderful time in media that there's so many different channels and niches. It doesn't have to just be, you know, one whole, you know, all of CBS News does not have to go positive. All of the New York Times doesn't have to go positive. to me, I liken it to how you do your shopping. You know, you go to the butcher for your meat, to the grocery store for your staples, and to the bakery for the sweet stuff. You certainly wouldn't show up at the bakery saying, "Can I have a steak?" Mm-hmm. So it's important to be informed, but it's also important to be inspired. And that's the niche that DarrenKagan.com has served, kind of like the bakery of the news world.
Very well explained. That's very true. And the niche programming is a great opportunity for all of us to create what we love to do. So let's talk about your personal life, Darren. Prior to this, being this anchor, you were on that news track and you found love after CNN. Tell me about that.
Did. So I'd never been married. And coming out of the job, out of the career, out of the anchor job, I did what I knew how to do best. That was rebuild the career. But a few years in, I still, you know, single. The first thing I did on one very pity party day, one of my best friends sent me an application for Big Brothers Big Sisters to become a big sister. And instead of listening to my whining pity party about how lonely I was on a Sunday night, she's like, "I think you need to do this." And that was huge. So I signed up to be a big sister in the Big Sister program. Almost a year to the day after I became a big sister, I met the man who is now my husband. He was a single dad who was raising his young daughter alone. We've since married. I adopted his daughter. And now my little sister now is with us pretty much full time as well. So I went from single anchor, you know, just traveling the world to married, raising what are now two teenage girls.
That's amazing. And so really getting outside of yourself and not being steeped in this sadness was the impetus to find the person you would spend your life with.
I really think so. I mean, I call my little sister, I call her my lucky charm, because I really think going through the exercise of not just feeling lonely and being sorry for myself, I think she opened my heart to meet the right kind of guy. And, you know, I met my husband is really a guy, I tell him often, he was put on this earth to be a husband and a father. And that's what he's good at a lot of things, but that's what he's really, really good at. And by going through the exercise of giving, I think it opened me up to meet a guy like him.
That's beautiful. And let's not forget your dog.
My dog, Darla, who's almost 16 years old.
Aww.
I know. I have a syndicated newspaper column of part of what I do, and my column's due today, so I actually just finished writing my column about her. So if I'm a little it's because I'm thinking about Darla. And if you have a dog, I know you understand.
Or a pet of any kind, because yes, there's a tremendous bond between humans and pets and animals that can't be explained, and it's pretty amazing.
It is. And interestingly, as much as I love my husband and as well matched as we are, our one issue going into marriage was I'm the crazy animal person and he is not. And that was the big thing we had to work out before we got married. He kind of thought, "Oh, I thought you just had animals until you met like a human." I'm like, "No, when you love animals, there's a separate chamber of your heart that can only be filled by animals."
How did you negotiate this, Darren?
Do you know, we actually, being completely honest, we did premarital counseling simply on animals. Everything else we had covered. So the agreement we came to, I not only have Darla, I have a three-legged cat, and I have 8 chickens in the backyard.
Okay.
And my husband is totally pro-chicken because his issue is with animals that live in the house. Mm-hmm. So he's like, "You can have as many chickens as you want." So the chickens are grandfathered in. They have as many chickens. We will keep Darla, and then the three-legged cat is Pisa. They get to stay for as long as they live. And then Pisa will be the last cat because he's mildly allergic, and we will always only have one dog. So that was kind of the compromise.
Okay. You know what? That's fair enough, because obviously I am on your side. I believe everybody should have animals, but not everybody believes that. So coming to that compromise made a lot of sense.
Yes, and Darla now sleeps in our daughter's room instead of in our room. That was another thing, because I find dog snoring like the ocean very soothing. He finds it, you know, it disturbs his sleep. Mm-hmm. But our daughter loves having Darla in her room. Yeah, and that was kind of it. We kind of worked it out. And now, you know, now he talks to Darla and the cat more than I even do. So I catch him almost on a daily basis.
Well, it's a very great story to know that it has a happy ending post-CNN and that you've created this wonderful website, DarrenKagan.com. It's all positive news. I highly recommend it. Darren's new book is Hope Possible, A Network News Anchor's Thoughts on Losing Her Job, Finding Love, A New Career, and My Dog, Always My Dog. Continued success to you, Darren. This is great and always a pleasure to speak to you.
Thank you. Always a delight. Thank you, Valerie.
It's Valerie Smaldone on America Weekend, the Envision Radio Network.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. So you need a break from work. Well, how long is the ideal vacation? Everyone needs a break, but few people know exactly how much time it takes to rest up before you start the old rat race again. Here's the science of it. It's been suggested that yearly vacation should be, you ready for this? 3 weeks long. The first week of any vacation, you're still pretty much back at work in your head. During the second week, you actually begin to unwind. And during week three, you start gearing up for your return to work. What's the cheap psychological trick? Well, in tough economic times, it's hard to take this much time off. Instead, take as many little three-day vacations as you can. You see, without sufficient play, productivity suffers, health concerns increase, and worries abound. Even little breaks help solve this problem. Got a question? Contact me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Order in the court.
This is attorney Jay Coleman with The Final Verdict. 66-year-old Diane Steen was on duty as a volunteer neighborhood watch person when she saw a young man throwing trash into a creek. She yelled at him to stop, but he came at her with a gun. Amazingly, Diane pulled out her own gun, fired two shots, then forced the gun from his hands. But when the cops arrived, the man's weapon turned out to be a BB gun. So, what was the man charged with? And what was the gun-toting granny charged with? The final verdict after this.
Have back taxes taken control of your life, your bank account, your paycheck? It's time to take back control and avoid tax liens, bank levies, garnished wages, and criminal charges. Take control today and call U.S. Tax Shield now at 800-524-6201.
The man with the BB gun was charged with disorderly conduct, and the gun-toting granny wasn't charged with anything. And that's the final verdict.